The MEPs who are with us here tonight, Ursula von der Leyen, speaking, I suppose, in general about European values, Jack, would it be right to say, but every example she picked was one that picked Hungary as the Buchaldona of the European Union.
Yeah, so this was a speech that the Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, made in Strasbourg in the Parliament down there in front of Viktor Orban, where she really confronted him in probably the most forceful language she has to date, and taking Hungary to task over, you know, what she set out was effectively what has been Budapest's approach and the right-wing populist government of Viktor Orban's approach to undermine the EU on a range of issues. You know, when it comes to support for Ukraine in the war, Hungary is using its veto around the EU table to hold up, I think, about 6 billion euros of financial aid that has been earmarked to go to Ukraine to support it in its war with Russia, but has been held up and sitting in, you know, on ice basically for months. Also, in terms of Hungary's approach to, you know, Ukraine's path towards entry into the European Union, you know, they were blocking that or delaying that at a lot of points. So what you'll often see is, you know, Viktor Orban and the Hungarian government will use their veto power to hold up, you know, the EU's plans and progress on a lot of issues to try and extract concessions elsewhere. So it's really this very transactional bargaining type game that Orban plays, and it's really held up a lot of reforms and progress on a lot of issues around the EU table for, you know, nearly for years now. But it's getting to a point where a lot of other member states are increasingly fed up at Orban and the obstructive nature that Hungary is able to play around the table. As you know, you'll often see an agreement among 26 member states and the one holdout being Hungary on a whole range of issues. And because for a lot of these, you know, important issues, the EU requires unanimity in its decision making, that means that Hungary is able to hold up this powerful bargaining chip and lever to hold a bit of the rest of the EU to hostage on a lot of issues. So von der Leyen really kind of hit out at him, and it's probably a sign of something that we'll hear a lot more over the next 5 years. This clash between, you know, the European Commission, a lot of the other like-minded member states, and Hungary, which has taken a tact more towards, you know, an increasingly anti-democratic approach, you know, really undermining the rule of law, undermining the freedom of the media, freedom of, you know, political expression. So you'll see that play out, I think, in a big way over the next 5 years. And ironically, it'll be Michael McGrath. It looks like he'll be possibly Europe's face of that, because he's obviously going to be the European Commissioner for Justice if he passes a Parliament confirmation hearing. And that'll mean that McGrath is going to be tasked basically with upholding the rule of law in Europe. And that'll mean that he'll be the one kind of, as I said, being the fronting up the EU's confrontation over Hungary going forward.
All right. Maria Walsh, Viktor Orban's approach, he might argue, has paid dividends, because if Ursula von der Leyen checked her passport, she would see she's a German, and the German government has been imposing border checks, which isn't exactly in the spirit of freedom of movement, something that Hungary welcomed. So the political stripe Viktor Orban comes from has risen in influence in Europe, and that's to be seen even in a centre-left government at the heart of the European Union.
Yeah, we debated the review, or just the mechanism that the Schengen area has, and that certainly came to light. But to get back to the debate we had on Wednesday with Viktor Orban, I most welcomed it. Scary reality when he's quoting the likes of former President Trump of "Make Europe Great Again," and very much the language coming from the President Commission, to Jack's point, was the strongest I've seen, both within the media and spoken word. So I welcome that. I mean, I've been tracking the Fidesz government since I got in 2019, simply because I was very uncomfortable in being within the EPP group. Their rollbacks on LGBTI rights, on women's rights. The fact, too, at a national level, particularly in my constituency, Midlands Northwest, a number of our students travel to Budapest for veterinary college based off CEO points here. So we have a lot to lose as an EU and as a country if the likes of Viktor Orban continue to go on the route and the avenue he continues to find himself in. But it was a robust debate and one that shed a lot of light on where we could be going. Bear in mind, to Michael's point earlier on, if we do not hold the centre, I counter argue what we chatted about earlier. I do think there is enough of a progressive group within the EPP. We're a broad church, as I said, Renew, S&D and the Greens, to hold the centre without the third largest, which is the Pirates the EU superpower of the right conservative in terms of ECR and the other group, that we can hold the likes of Viktor Orban to account. Right. And bear in mind, to add all to, under Michael McGrath's, if he passes the commission, no doubt he will, hearing that the enlargement countries will also be two. And that's a part of this conversation because of the relation Viktor Orban has with those.
Michael McGrath, but the unanimity principle still applies. He can do what he likes. He doesn't care.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we also have to bear in mind that while we might disagree with Viktor Orban fundamentally, he does have a majority and he does enjoy considerable support in Hungary still. You know, Jack spoke about a transactional approach by Viktor Orban. I mean, none of Viktor Orban's approaches are entirely new. It's not like he went from being, you know, that he had an about change in 2020. I mean, this was something that's been happening for a long time. There were constitutional changes in 2013 that everybody found abhorrent. But nevertheless, Ursula von der Leyen was first elected with the support of Viktor Orban's party in 2019, and indeed the Law and Justice Party from Poland, she subsequently spent quite a lot of time criticising. But again, you know, she knew who they were, what they were, what their positions were on abortion rights, on LGBTQ plus rights, on all of these issues before
the
she
space,
sought their
if you
support.
Look at the PIS government, so and the change that we've had over that period, Michael, is astronomical in terms of the presidency we will have from Poland starting in January once Hungary is
finished.
Know,
there's been a democratic election in Poland.
Drastically so different
there's
to
been
where
a
it was
there's
when
been a democratic election
5 years ago.
There's been a democratic election in Poland and PIS lost and Civic Platform won. But I mean, not by a huge majority, and PIS would say that some of the media reforms that have been brought about by Civic Platform are exactly that which Law and Justice were doing in government. But Orban still does enjoy a majority in Hungary, and that is something that we actually have to deal with. It's not a dictatorship imposed upon the people.
Well, it may not be a dictatorship, but his
Fidesz. But
in terms of it's not simply that he was elected and that was it.
There was
a large
reforms.
Measure of legislation prepared by the Fidesz party using battalions of lawyers when they were in opposition that then created a hybrid legal system that undermined quite a lot of fundamental rights.
I would agree with that, but I still think that his majorities were huge. He does enjoy considerable popular support.
I do think one of the key things is, and I remember at the time I used to be with the European Women's Lobby before I entered the Senate, that was back in 2015. Viktor Orban has been very clear for a very long time. So I think it is important to note that Ursula von der Leyen and others were very happy, and the EPP were very happy to engage very actively and work with Orban at a time when he was repressing LGBT rights, when he was preparing all of the kinds of measures that are rolling into play and that we've seen roll into play since in terms of the legal part. And that when we look for all of the kind of strong language of condemning him in terms of this issue, let's look to the Hungarian presidency plan and what Ursula von der Leyen has listed as her priorities. And there's a lot of overlap. There's a shocking amount of overlap. She has, I think when she's, they talk about migration and a lot of the framing of migration as a crisis, a lot of the huge rise we've seen in very kind of racist policies across the European Union and in terms of Europe's external policy as well. a lot of that has happened within EPP, and a lot of that is mirrored by Orban. So he had migration as one of his pieces. He has defence spending.
I think the terminology from Orban and the President of the Commission is drastically different.
But I would
bear in mind, Orban, when he joined EPP first, was actually more liberal than I sitting here, and sadly shifted based off ego and greed in my eyes.
But a very, very long time ago.
And Ursula judicial reform was followed in terms of his rule of law actions over the last number of years. So you can't, it's not apples to apples
here. But nonetheless, Ursula von der Leyen's critique was a lot around his foreign policy positions rather than the human rights breaches, rather than the policies affecting the fundamental rights of people in Hungary. And they have chased the narrative.
Okay.
So
right.
Defence, migration and competitiveness are the top three topics. Climate's not even in the top four anymore.
We're going to hit one of those topics ourselves when we come back after this break.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.